First John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let's read together now, please. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these series of messages that pastors have been bringing us. God, help us as Christians to be better Christians, to be prepared, to be ready as you admonish us for the coming of Christ. God, work in our hearts today. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, is not ready for the second coming of Christ, that today they would get saved from their sin so they can go to heaven too. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask that you check your electronic devices. Here we make our speech at the beginning of every morning message. Make sure your cell phones are off or turned to vibrate, please. Because if they go off during the service, you will go through the tribulation period. So help us with that. We would appreciate that very much. We will leave you here. And so do that for us. We ask that now no one get up and go out of the room for a moment. It's Lord's Supper Sunday. And the subject I have for you today is one that's going to take a few minutes. So I'm going to ask you to listen very carefully. I apologize that I will not be able to give you as much scripture as I would like to, especially concerning the person of our subject this morning. These last several Sundays, we've been talking about the events and things that surround the second coming of Jesus Christ. We know this. We know that we are on the very edge of Christ returning for us. Jesus' second coming is in two parts. The first part is when Jesus comes for his own. That's the event we're looking for now. That would time, the Bible says, when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That event could happen this morning. Before this service is finished, before I can get to the end of the next sentence, it is that close. When that happens, and the saved are caught up off this earth to meet the Lord in the air, we return to heaven with the Lord, and in heaven we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. There at the judgment seat of Christ, sin is not judged, but our lives are, and the worth of that life is examined and revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're a saved person, that means this. Since the second coming of Christ for us could be in the next moment, in these next moments, you and the way you've lived your life from salvation to that moment will be revealed in these next few moments also. While the saved are in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ on this earth, that begins a seven-year period we spoke of last week, the Bible calls a great tribulation, a time the world has never known before, will never know again. In seven-year period of time, the wrath of God is poured out on this earth, and in 7 years, two-thirds of the world's population at the end of that 7 years is dead. There's hardly a green stick of anything growing on this earth. Most all the sea creatures are gone. And God's judgment is poured out in a series of 31 judgments that run consecutively over a seven-year period of time. It's unbelievable. The hope of the tribulation is not to be here. The hope is to miss the entire thing, and you will if you're a saved person. If you know Christ is your Savior, the trump of God sounds, you're going up. We will not be here for any part of the tribulation, contrary to mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, and all the rest of the doctrines that are taught by people. I think, frankly, if you really want to be here for the tribulation, if you want to be here for the half of it, you can take my half. I'm going up at the beginning. But the truth of the matter is, that is the way it works, by the way. We cannot experience the wrath of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 9. We cannot experience the wrath of God, and the tribulation, all of it is the wrath of God. On this earth, in that 7-year period of tribulation, there is a main character in that event of the tribulation. The person is simply called the Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 2 this morning, we read it. I'd like you to look at that passage again, please. It says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. That is a person yet to come in that day, still yet to come in our day. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The word Antichrist is not only a title, but it describes to us who this person will be. The word anti in the Bible means two things. Number one, of course, it means against. This person of Antichrist, he will be against Christ. He'll oppose him. He'll be in direct opposition to the person of Jesus Christ. But in the Bible, Antichrist also means in place of or instead of. He will come and be very much messianic in his life and in his ministry. Now listen carefully this morning. I'm going to describe for you much of what we could show you from Daniel chapter 9 to Daniel chapter 11. We could also show you this. Much of the book of the Revelation describes the event of the tribulation, and much of it deals with the person of the Antichrist. Now, a lot of people waste time trying to decide who he is. They said, if you folks from World War II today, you remember, they thought Mussolini was the Antichrist because he was in Rome, etc. And there are things that lined up about Mussolini's intentions. Obviously, he was not. I remember in the 70s when people thought that Jimmy Carter was the Antichrist. Man couldn't lead two ants to a picnic, for goodness sakes. He'd have to be devil-possessed. But the truth is, there, and I've heard him predict all, Gorbachev, remember the leader of the former Soviet Union, he had that thing up on his head, and they thought that was like the mark of the beast, and he was rallying the forces of the world, and when he brought in Perestroika and all this stuff in Russia, and brought peace and put the wall down, they thought he was the Antichrist. Now he lives in San Francisco and makes all kinds of money traveling around talking to people. The point is this, who the person of the Antichrist is not important. Just about every presidential candidate gets nailed as the Antichrist by the losing party. If your guy doesn't win, then the guy who won is the Antichrist. The Bible does not tell us specifically who he is. We know this about the Antichrist. He is a Gentile. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 1. He rises up out of the sea in the book of the Revelation. The picture of the sea is the nations of the world. He is not a Jew. He is a Gentile. We know this. We know he becomes one of two men on this planet who becomes Satan possessed. Not demon possessed. Satan possessed. The devil will literally come to live with his fullness and power inside the body of this man. We know that he is a political figure, a spiritual figure, and a worldwide known figure. We know this. We know that the Antichrist is a homosexual. Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 and 37 says, he will not regard the God of his fathers, nor will he regard women. We know this from the Bible. We know that he starts his ministry or his work initially as a peaceful man. And that his rise to power in the world is not going to be over a nation or an individual, but eventually he will become a worldwide ruler. He will be what the United Nations hopes he will be. He will rise to power initially for the first seven years of the tribulation. He will rise as a peaceful person. Ladies and gentlemen, this man will come and resolve the conflicts of the Middle East. He will come and initially bring peace to Israel and all of their enemies. Again, I wish I had time to give you all the scripture on this. You read Daniel chapter 9 through Daniel chapter 11. He will come and then Israel will initially embrace him as their Messiah. Because he will resolve the Palestinian issue. He will resolve the issue of the Arabic people and their hostility to Israel. He will resolve the conflicts not only there but around this world. Do you realize that in 6,000 years of human history, it's not been billions, 6,000 years of human history, there has been 37 years of peace in 6,000 years of human history. And he will resolve it all in 3.5 years. He'll get everybody to lay their arms down. He will resolve all of the conflicts of this world. He will bring peace. And people will initially think of him as the man we have been looking for. And for 3.5 years, he will hide his intentions. At the middle of the 3.5 year period of that tribulation, the Antichrist in Israel will show his true colors. He will step forward, desecrate the temple that had been reconstructed, and bring Israel under his foot, and then he will set forth, the Bible says, conquering and to conquer. Take with me your Bible, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 6 this morning. The Revelation chapter 6 now. And as you get to Revelation 6, hold your place and go to Revelation chapter 19. There are two people riding on a white horse here that you need to see this morning. Now, I'm going to run a little bit longer in the service, so if you have a roast at home and you set it for 12:15, you will have beef jerky by 12:30. But I will be as brief as possible, no matter how long it takes me. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 1 and 2, and then holding your place, go to Revelation 19 and just find verse 11, please. Once you find Revelation 19, go back to Revelation chapter 6. In the Bible, the book of the Revelation describes for us the events of the second coming of Christ, the beginning of the tribulation period, and much of the Revelation covers the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we see the second coming of Christ. We see us in Revelation chapter 5 standing before the throne of God the Father, and Jesus the Lamb is there. And he opens a book of seals that begins the judgments of the tribulation on the earth. Revelation 6 and verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse. Guy on the white horse is always the hero, isn't he? I saw one riding on a white horse. Verse 2, and he that sat on him had a bowl, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay, now let's notice this. Look at me, please. White horse, crown, bowl, conquering. Now jump to Revelation 19 and look at verse 11. This is at the end of the tribulation period. This is at the end of things. And I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, the Bible says. And with that he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written in your King James Bible, all capital letters, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. But that's not Jesus in Revelation 6. In Revelation 6, the guy on the white horse has a crown and a bowl. In Revelation 19, he has many crowns and a sword. Look here, there are similarities but key differences. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 6 is the Antichrist. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 19 is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one on the Revelation 19, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns to this earth, the Bible says he doth judge and make war. He goes forth conquering and to conquer also, but he does it by the power of the sword which goes out of his mouth, the Word of God. And Jesus submits this world to the authority of God's Word. In Revelation chapter 6, the guy on the white horse with a singular crown and a bow is also one who subdues this earth to his authority. Now, dear friend, I want you to look at me this morning. I wish we had more time for this today, but and I may just preach again on it next Sunday and give you some more scripture about it. We'll see what the Lord has. But I want you to understand something today. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, so the Antichrist is coming, so what? I believe he's alive and on this earth today. Not as the person of the Antichrist. But see, the events of Jesus' return and the beginning of the tribulation are so near. I don't believe, and I'm not setting a date for the return of Christ. They always make a mistake, and it's wrong to do that. But I believe this. I believe since it is so close, there's no time for him to be born and become an adult to become the Antichrist. I believe he is here now on this earth. Who he is not important. Do not waste your time with people who give you all these predictions about, you know, Mr. Obama's the Antichrist. You know, the President of France is the Antichrist. Muhammad, you know, this nut over in Iran, he's the Antichrist. You know, who all these people? No, waste of time. The point is this. Why, ladies and gentlemen, why is it possible for someone to come on the scene and become a worldwide ruler? The Antichrist, who will declare himself not just against Jesus, but in place of Jesus Christ, and will be respected and accepted as such. There are several reasons I want to give you quickly this morning. Reason number one is this. The world is looking for someone like this. My friend, look at me. You and I live in a day and an age that's the most fascinating day to live in the history of mankind. But I know this morning. We are living in a time where there are people today in this world who would give their soul to anyone who could just give them a few answers to a few questions. Look at me. You give me somebody who could listen. You want to talk about an important Secretary of State who could actually resolve the Middle East conflict, someone who could actually do that. That old area of the Middle East is a tinder box. It would take nothing but a couple of nuts in Iran to lob a nuclear weapon, even act like they're going to try it in Israel. And that little nation will nuke the fire out of those people. They will mess around. And that whole region of the world will simply and completely ignite and erupt into conflict. Now listen to me this morning. You show me someone who can resolve that, and I show you someone who the world would lay down at their feet and give themselves away. Because that's where we are in the world today. This world today is just looking for someone to come who has answers to their economic problems. Someone to come who can resolve the disease issues of this world. Someone who could come and provide something. And listen to me, and the world in its spiritual condition today doesn't care who that someone is. 15 million people are trying to get a ticket to this nuts funeral down here in Los Angeles. 15 million people trying to get a ticket to go to the funeral of a poor man and a sad man. A poor, sad human being who, because he could dance and wear funny socks and a weird-looking glove, 15 million people want a ticket to this guy's funeral. Tell me the world isn't looking for something and have no idea where to look and don't care what they're looking at. Or where it comes from, or what the answers are. You don't think, see, man, Pastor Johnson, come on. Antichrist, world ruler, resolve, all that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, in a minute. Just like that. Because that's the situation and condition of the world in which we live right now, today, as never before. How do you think the people of Venezuela live under a communist dictator like Chavez? These poor people over here in Iran, under the oppressive heel of that government over there. I was very blessed. I was encouraged to see people rising up in protest in the streets. And believe me, my friend, we don't even know the half of how many people were slaughtered and butchered by these Muslim idiots over there. And not all people who are of Islam are crazy now. I'm just talking about the right-wing nutballs that run that thing over there. But the people of China today, billions of people living under the oppressive heel of a government. But do you know why they put up with that? Because the government takes good care of them. Gives them free medical care, which ain't worth nothing. That's bad English, but it's good preaching. It's worth nothing. But they give them what they want. And because they give them, listen now, because they give them what they want, they put up with it. And it's no different in the United States of America. We are a nation today who would sell its soul to the devil if we could fix our economic problems, balance a budget in our state for once on time, California, and get a governor who can at least say the name right. And it's amazing. They would lay down. The world would lay at the feet of anyone who would be. They're looking for somebody. And the sad thing is they don't know who they're looking for and they don't care. They don't care. You solve my problems, I'm your friend. We just elected a president on the principle of change in America. Now how are we doing? Going okay? I pray for our president. I'm not here to be critical this morning, but I'm telling you this. By the way, 27% of so-called evangelical Christians voted their pocketbook instead of their religious beliefs in this last election. And that's how the guy got elected. Because Bible-believing Christians voted for somebody who believes in murdering babies and all the things. Man doesn't believe anything we agree with. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand? But see, as long as he's somebody different, are you getting the picture this morning? This ain't no political rally, friend. I'm telling you today, this world is looking for somebody and they don't care who it is. They don't care where he comes from. They don't care what he believes. And they don't care how he acts or how he lives his life. As long as he's got the answers they want to hear. So you see the Antichrist? Yes. That could be a worldwide ruler right now on this earth. Because the world's looking for somebody. Why is there going to be an Antichrist? Number two, because so many are rejecting the Christ. So many are rejecting the Christ. Look at me, the Christ of the Bible. Not the Christ of political correctness. The Christ of this book right here. This one, virgin born, sinless life. Death on the cross for salvation of all mankind and the only Savior of mankind. But that's not the fastest growing religion in the world today. It is Islam. The world today, by and large, is rejecting the true Christ and embracing their own Jesus. I got my own Jesus. We have programs today to get people off their addictions and they get to make up the God as they understand him. Instead of the God of the Bible, they get to make up their own God. We got religion sweeping this world today under the name of Christ. There's a man in South America today who declares himself as the Antichrist. All of his materials got 666 on it. He declares himself to be a Christian, but he declares himself to be the Antichrist. And he's got a following in Central and South America today that's growing rapidly. And I don't think he's the Antichrist. It's just interesting he declares himself to be so. And because because he is charismatic, he has charisma. And the ability of speech to draw a crowd. Because the world is rejecting the Christ today. Too many. You preach salvation through Christ alone today and listen to them howl. Listen to them throw back their head and say, but wait a minute. You're saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I'm saying it this morning. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Salvation through Christ alone. You get saved, you get to go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. That's what the Bible says. That's the truth. I didn't make it up. It's in the book, friend. I didn't write it. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And if we don't preach the true Christ, friend, you know what happens? The world does not understand that it's Christ that is the Savior. But they're rejecting the Christ of the Bible. They're turning him aside today. The New Testament church as a whole is more concerned with entertaining themselves. We got enough Hawaiian shirt, short wearing, necklace wearing reverends who are more interested in playing ukuleles and entertaining people like we're in Hollywood than stand in the pulpit and preach the Bible. Yeah, that's right, brother. Amen. Thank you very much. But that's exactly right. When was the last time anybody came to your house in Redding, California, besides Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and Shasta Baptist Church, and knocked on your door to try to give you the gospel, drove a bus up and down your street to bring people to church? When was the last time? No, we got all these programs. We got an early service. We got a contemporary service. We got a blended service. We got a service for the way out crowd. We got a worship dance service. We got all these services. We're entertaining Christians today. We're more entertained than we have ever been in the history of the Christianity. And it's wrong. Look at me. You go back to 1 John 2 and read verse 15 on to verse 18. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, the Bible says. this world is rejecting the Christ of the Bible, and the Bible of Jesus Christ. And you're a King James church nowadays, you're a nut. You've lost your mind. You got to get a cotton patch Bible. You got to get this Bible and that Bible and those Bibles and whatever else people like kind of Bibles. Hogwash, we just preach the Bible and let God resolve the issues. Because, friend, do you understand this morning that when there's a rejection of Christ and when there's a turning away from Christ, the Bible says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Look at me. But they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, turning their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. So that's why we got designer Christianity. Whatever you want, give it to them. Whatever they need, give it to them. Provide their need, just give it to them. Now we have people proclaiming themselves as Christian strippers for Jesus. We have churches today that meet in bars, but instead of meeting there and closing the bar down, cleaning out the bar, putting up a pulpit and preaching, now they meet in bars so they can drink and have church services. Practicing, advocating homosexual Christians. Interesting. Listen to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand something. We're rejecting the Christ of the Bible, and when you turn your ears from the truth, the Bible says you are turned unto fables, and when you're turned unto fables, you embrace things that, you know what a fable is, right? It's fable science fiction. Stuff that's just not true at all. But it sounds interesting. So now our church services have turned into circles where people sit around and go, read a verse. What do you think that means? And Christians sit there going, boy, that is so interesting. Everyone gave their opinion, and we all got to hear that. That's not preaching the word, friend. It's not what the Bible teaches. See, the point is this. When there is a rejection of Christ, there will be the person of the Antichrist. Why the Antichrist? Because biblical Christianity is today a remnant. Those who hold to the Bible and believe the Bible as the final authority are viewed very negatively today. We're the hate mongers. Let me say this to you. I want you to listen to me very carefully. If I preach against a lifestyle or a practice from this pulpit, and I preach it with passion, number one, it's to try and offset the fact that those same lifestyles and conducts are promoted continually for 7 days in the ears of God's people. And I got to take a minute to kind of, boom, shock you for a second to turn your thinking before you get caught up in that junk. But do not ever take it to mean there's any hate behind that statement. I don't hate anybody. I resent being called homophobic. I resent being called a hate monger. I resent it. Because I don't hate anybody. Look at me. I don't agree with their lifestyles, but I don't hate anybody. There isn't a drop of hatred in my heart for an individual on this planet, and I cannot do that because it would be unscriptural. To hate someone, the Bible says, is the same as murder. And I would no more kill anybody than I would hate anybody. Now, you understand that this morning. And if you're getting that, if you're getting, you know, you're trying to correct your thinking and going all the way the other way, you better fix that stuff. We don't hate anybody. So then, we're labeled as the people who have a problem. It's kind of like what they said to Billy Sunday, the old prohibition preacher, when he finished preaching a sermon one day and a woman came up to him. She said, Mr. Sunday, I didn't like a thing you said because you were rubbing the cat the wrong way. He said, lady, I never turned the cat around. And that's a fact. When it comes to the place where preaching God's word is considered intolerant, then society has messed up. But we're not changing the message. Now listen to me this morning. Because the person of the Antichrist will come and resolve all of these issues and doesn't need to use the Bible at all. And resolve all the conflicts because biblical Christianity has today become a remnant. You know, there's not many of us, Pastor John said. Thank God there's several of us. And there are more than we realize. I think it's still a silent majority, quite frankly. But you know what? The overall view of biblical Christianity today is negative. While those without morals and make fun of what's right are considered in a positive light under the terms of diversity. The time for Christians to be here is drawing at a close. It better be. It is time for us to go up, but until then, it is time for us to get busy. And I'm not talking about going down to the Capitol or marching in front of Washington or in the White House, spending all of our time chasing the political things. I do believe this, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I know that when the righteous are in authority, God blesses that nation. No question. So it is important for us to be aware of what's going on in the political realm, to vote your biblical conscience, etc. No problem with any of those issues. I have a problem with getting distracted by those issues and getting away from what really can resolve the problems. And here's what resolves the problem. You and I, as a child of God, living a life that makes a difference where we are, and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and giving it to people so they have a chance to be saved. Because the answer has always been and will always be, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was sitting in the airport in London. A gentleman, very dignified looking, Hindu looking gentleman, was standing there. I began to talk with him. And as I began to witness to the man, he said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "Wonderful. How is it that you were saved?" He began to tell me his testimony. He was a doctor. And how he had come to Christ in the very northern part of India. In fact, he said, "I just returned from a Bible conference in the area of Serampore." And I said, "Is that the conference John Hyde started in the 1800s? He goes, "It's the very same conference." 150 years later, I'm standing in an airport in London, England, talking to a man who was raised a Hindu, who got saved by a missionary who started a work for God in the northern part of India 150 years before, and it was still going on. Hey, long after Castro is trying to light his cigars in the fires of hell, the work of God will continue to go on. Ladies and gentlemen, see, we get this idea that somehow because there is such a turn this direction and because there's such a situation that is so dark, I'll tell you what it means. It means the light of the gospel will shine so much more clearly. You are the light of the world. And the Bible tells us it's important for us to realize we're also the salt of this earth. And salt may be an irritant to some, but it's a preservative to all. And my friend, our lives as a child of God are so important in this day. Are you discouraged, Pastor Johnson, that we're on the outside? Considering where the world is, I prefer to be on the outside. Aren't you concerned, Pastor Johnson? They had an article in the newspaper this week about a couple of homosexual men whose cars were scratched up with hate slurs and different things like that. And that's wicked. It's wicked to hurt these people. It's wicked to go after people, physically endangering anybody for any reason, for anything. It's wrong. There should have been more amens on that, but that's a fact. That's wrong. They listed how many hate crimes have been taking place against the homosexual community in our area in the last 10 years, and I counted it up. And friend, this church right here on this property in the last 3.5 years has been hit by hate crimes 2 times more than that. Desecrated our properties, destroyed our buildings, violated our buses, defecated on our property, broke the windows out of our church building. Nobody came and interviewed us. Nobody asked us about this. See, Pastor Johnson, what does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means the world is going that way, and we're on the outside of that. But I prefer to be over there. I prefer to be on the outside of that. If that's the way the world is, I prefer to be out here. But my friend, not because we're better, but because somebody's got to stand on firm ground and let these dear people know, "Come all you that labor and are heavy laden, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Come unto Jesus, friend." The answer is Jesus. This person of the Antichrist will rise because not enough of Christ is presented. And not enough of truth is presented, and not enough of light goes forth, and not enough salt is there to preserve it. Let me tell you something, friend. The problem in America is not what goes on outside of these walls. It's what we leave here when we go outside of these walls. We leave our Bible here. We leave our Christianity here. We leave our faith here. Then we go out there with the rest of the stinking world, swilling our liquor and smoking our cigarettes and living in our immorality, having filthiness in our hearts and lives, doing things we ought not to be doing, casual about our own Christianity, and wonder why the world around us is going to the devil's hell. It's not their fault. It's ours for not doing our job. Rise up, Christian. I'm not asking you to hurt anybody. I'm not asking you to shove anything anybody down anybody's throat. But this lifestyle evangelism, let it all hang out, baby, act like the world's stuff, never save the soul, never help the country. There needs to be something of people that says, God's love is here, Christ loves you, you must be saved, you must be born again. But the urgency back to the gospel. I'm not trying to hurt anybody with what we believe. We're debts, you're not trying to run anybody over. But let me tell you something, friend, it's high time we got back to the one way or no way thing. And love people enough to tell them, God loves you, Christ died for you, friend, and you must be born again. And preaching Christ to people so they could know. And raising up the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the light of the Christian life. Lived in a way so people don't come to us and say, well, you know, there's been some nuts with the Bible, done some pretty serious damage. That's right. That's right. And with the Koran, too. And with the phone book, and with Reader's Digest and everything else on the planet. But it's time for the world to see something that's genuine and real in us. See, look here. We can oppose what the world is with the right spirit and the right attitude. So, well, you got all worked up this morning, Pastor John. This is preaching, friend. I would never in a minute use pulpit tactics and personal dealings with an individual. On a couple occasions I did, but that's because they messed with me. But other than that, only because they insult. When they insult God and insult Christ, I'm sorry, you're going to get both barrels right there on the front porch. But the truth of the matter is, there needs to be something from us that's a difference. You see what I'm saying? The point is, if we blend in with the world and then we wonder why the world is going the wrong way, then we find that we are in the wide gate and the broad path that leads to destruction. We're not going to hell, but when the trumpet sounds, we go up and they go, huh, where's so-and-so? And the Antichrist comes on the scene and says, let me explain it for you. He'll have answers for a world that has not heard the truth like they should. It is not our job to be hostile to this world. It is our job, as Rutherford said, to come here and not catch the spirit of this age, but to correct it. And we do that by our life, we do that by our testimony, we do that by our witness, we do that by talking to people about Jesus Christ, we do that by being involved in a church that cares about people's souls and is not so all-fire interested in entertaining you all the time and doing something to reach people for Jesus Christ and with the truth. You see, your view of the Antichrist needs to be from heaven, because when he rises to his power on this earth, we'll have long since been in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And then we return with him. As we said last week of the tribulation message, and I'm finished this morning, the hope is to not be here for any of it. Are you saved and are you certain? Sure of that? No question. Then number two, are you a part of the problem? Are you a part of what's right? Or have you bought into what's wrong because it's just more convenient? Let us stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?